Time to get started. I'm Jonathan Koch. I'm moderating the session, even though I'm not named in the program. But you just have to do what you have to do. I'm on the faculty at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill in maternal and child health, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to the Greg Alexander Outstanding Student Paper Session, Effects of Health Behaviors and Unmet Need for Care on Women and Children's Health. The session is named after Dr. Greg Alexander, an extraordinary maternal and child health researcher and mentor to numerous students. In this session, students disseminate findings from their independent or collaborative research projects that investigate a variety of maternal and child health issues, such as the impact of perinatal loss on health behaviors, unmet medical care needs, paid leave benefits for working mothers, overweight problems in vulnerable populations of South Africa, and adherence to treatment guidelines and barriers accessing health services among children with special health care needs. In addition to the session, the paper authors will be honored at the Martha May Elliott Luncheon at 12:30, so I hope you'll be able to join us at the luncheon. We have had a change in the sequence of the program. One of our authors, who is Mariano Kanamori, was not able to make it. Mariano was affiliated with the Department of Epidemiology and Biostatistics, University of Maryland, College Park, School of Public Health. And his title, as you can see, is, I guess it's not exactly the same as I have it on my page, so I'm going to read it from the screen, the Association of Orphan and Vulnerable Child Training, Caregiving, Household Wealth, and Female Autonomy on Women's Body Mass Index in Namibia, Swaziland, and Zambia. And the paper will be delivered by his faculty mentor, Olivia Carter-Pokras, and I'd like Dr. Carter-Pokras to come up to the podium and introduce herself and lead us through the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm very sorry Mariano can't give the presentation himself, but he's in the right smack in the middle of between two different institutions. He is now a postdoc at Florida International University, and since this work is from his doctoral dissertation at the University of Maryland, he wasn't able to get support to come to the meeting, but he sends his regrets, and hopefully you'll be able to take away something interesting from this. Should tell you a little bit about the story. I'm Mariano's dissertation advisor, Olivia Carter-Pokras at the University of Maryland, College Park School of Public Health. And Mariano initially saw this announcement for $15,000 of support to go for training on how to evaluate programs. It was to go to Ethiopia as well as to go to New York City to learn how to do this. Well, he got very excited, even though he's Peruvian. I'm very excited. It's like he could get formal training and program evaluation, so he decided to sign up for this. His degree is in epidemiology. And he went to Ethiopia, learned about the programs they were doing for orphan and vulnerable children, and he said, wow, with the reams of data that you have, we really should do a project. And he had all these ideas. And they turned to him and said, well, you know, can you help us draft a proposal? So he did. He drafted a proposal, and they were funded by USAID. They sold the proposal idea to USAID, and USAID provided some funding. So Mariano paid for the last 3 years of his doctoral work with this proposal that he had written. So I want to tell you that little story. Then when he got to his dissertation phase, he realized he needed to find a data set. He originally thought that maybe continuing with this work, with the program evaluation for orphan and vulnerable children would do it. But of course, we're epidemiology, and so we needed health outcomes and all sorts of other things like this. So we asked him to dig deeper, and he found the demographic health surveys had a lot of the information he was interested in and would allow him to continue his interest in orphan and vulnerable children. So Mariano might not have given you a little bit of that background, but since we have students in the room, I did want to share that with you. So he's asked me to disclose we have no personal financial relationships to disclose. A little bit about orphan and vulnerable child primary caregiving. About 75% of all orphan and vulnerable children live in Africa. That's nation across the world, 12 million. So the potential negative impact of both African OVC caregiving on caregivers' health and nutrition is a public health concern. What is the impact of being involved in caregiving of orphan and vulnerable children? The prevalence of orphan and vulnerable children within Africa ranges from 19.2% in Zambia to 31.1% in Namibia. In Africa, the impact of being a child's caregiver on the caregiver's nutritional status is not well understood. Their previous studies had small sample sizes, no comparison groups. Most of them were qualitative studies, no quantitative studies. So he thought this would be something he could delve into a bit more. When we look at developed countries where there's a bit more information, we see there is an association between caregiving and caregiver's health that's well established. For instance, the impact on diet, sedentary life, sleep problems, stress, and depression. We know in Africa in general, nutrition is having a radical change. We're having a more energy-dense diet, increased fat, sugar, and processed foods, and reduced physical activity. So just comparing data from the demographic health survey, some background information on the percent underweight and overweight, we see in three countries which had more complete data on the items he was interested in, for all females, Namibia 15.9% were underweight, Swaziland 3.2%, as you can see a big difference, overweight, it ranges from 19.2% in Zambia all the way to 50.6% in Swaziland. We know overweight to be a risk factor for chronic health problems, everything from hypertension, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, etc., and can reduce our quality of life and lead to premature death. What I'm showing here is a diagram that Maniano put together of his exposure variable, OVC primary caregiving, and women's BMI, body mass index. That's what he was interested in studying. And the variables he was considering as potential confounders and effect modifiers are on the slide. They range from having biological and or non-biological children, the number of those, the age of the child, primary caregiver's marital status, the relationship with the head of the house, women's age and education, geographic region, parity, and household absolute wealth index. The data source, as I said, was the Demographic Health Survey. Now, recognizing that we don't have the same level of detail for every single country, he tried to compromise and try to come with as comparable as consistent data. As you can see, we had 2006 to 2007 data for both Namibia and Swaziland. Zambia was 2007 data. And the common characteristics of these three countries is they all belong to the Southern African Development Community. They have economies linked to South Africa. They have an HIV prevalence of at least 5% or orphan prevalence of at least 8%. They have available data for the characteristics he was interested in. And they have less than 20% of women's BMI missing data. And they have extremely high response rates of over 94%. Inclusion criteria, he wanted to focus on women ages 20 to 49 years of age. He excluded anybody who was pregnant or within 3 months after delivery, and had the extreme values for body mass index, less than 12 or greater than 60. And so as you can see, the sample size were pretty significant in these three countries. And in regards to sample characteristic, we had a higher percentage of women who had at least secondary education in Swaziland and Namibia compared to Zambia. And in Namibia and Zambia, women were distributed evenly between rural and urban settings. In Swaziland, 63% were living in rural areas. His outcome was body mass index, and he looked at it both as a continuous and a categorical variable. And in regards to OVC primary caregiving, he ended up having four groups that he studied. Two groups were women who were caring for a child, two groups with women who were not caring for a child. And within those, he compared those who were responsible for taking care of orphan and vulnerable children. And that list of potential confounders and effect modifiers is given again here. He had a wide range of descriptive statistics that he looked at. And he accounted for the complex sample design, which is critical to do when you have something other than a simple random sample. He also considered missing data techniques, and he used logistic regression, and he looked at interaction and stratified analysis to assess effect modification. Now I'm going to show some results from his dissertation. In this particular slide, he's showing body mass index by country and orphan and vulnerable child primary caregiving status. And so if you look at leftmost side of, I realize I don't have a pointer, so if you could guide your eyes to the leftmost side of the slide, you see Namibia depicted there. And in red, those are the OVC primary caregivers. And that was the group he was of particular interest. So you can see in comparison just in Namibia, that the non-OVC primary caregivers had higher body mass index than the OVC primary caregivers. He found that to be the case for Namibia, but not the case in Zambia. In Zambia, actually, the OVC primary caregivers had higher BMI than the other caregiving groups. So one of the takeaway messages from his dissertation is that because of the context within each of the countries, it's important to do these comparisons, not only across countries, but also within countries. And here you can see more clearly, comparing across countries, what the body mass index is in regards to OVC primary caregivers. And Namibia had the lowest BMI for OVC primary caregivers. Swaziland had the highest body mass index for OVC primary caregivers. Then he looked at it all together, and you can see three different models that are depicted here. The direction of these adjusted odds ratios suggests that the role of the OVC primary caregiver was indeed a protective factor for overweight in Namibia, but it was a risk factor for overweight in Swaziland and Zambia. So the direction was completely different according to country. So when you're depicting this, again, redoing his diagram when he was trying to see how these variables sort of hung together, he sees that women's age acted as an effect modifier for Namibia, and parity acted as an effect modifier for Zambia on the relationship between OVC primary caregiving and overweight. Now, some of the strengths for this approach. One is that he's using this demographic health survey that has very consistent questions across countries, which makes it much easier to do these across-country comparisons. So those methods are largely identical across and within countries. Also had standardized measures of height and weight, so not just asking people what their height is or what their weight is, but to measure those and using the same approaches to measurement across countries and within countries. And you have very diverse and representative populations. Limitations, it is indeed a cross-sectional study. We don't know whether the overweight occurred before the OVC child caregiving, or we don't know whether the OVC child caregiving occurred before the overweight. We can't establish that temporal sequence. And we cannot assess the length of caregiving. We don't know if somebody was taking care of an OVC child, orphan and vulnerable child, for a short period or a longer period. And it also doesn't measure the caregiving intensity. For instance, we did have one of the four categories where women who were not child caregivers or were not child caregivers of OVCs were some of the comparison groups, and so it's hard to assess the caregiving intensity. The main conclusion, although programs for African OVC families generally focus on underweight, overweight also exists among OVC caregivers. And so one of the recommendations is that programs that currently exist focusing on underweight expand their view to also consider overweight as a health outcome of concern. Among OVC primary caregivers, the prevalence of overweight was higher than the prevalence of underweight. So again, to expand our view of health outcomes of concern to consider overweight. Implications for future research. There's a need for nutritional studies focusing on OVC primary caregivers in other African countries other than the ones that he addressed here. And it's better to study OVC primary caregiving within countries because of these large differences between those countries. Future longitudinal studies can help determine whether becoming an OVC primary caregiver precedes women's nutritional changes. Thank you very much. Are you taking questions now?
Yes.